Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a long-awaited Throwback Reviews podcast. My name is Sean, and with me is Mr. Rob Flack O'Hara.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Not much.
It's like bringing the show back like a corpse, like it was a corpse, but people didn't know that it was dead.
Yeah, but you know what? This is going to be an exciting episode, I think. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me introduce our other co-host here, Mr. Kevin Zerbe, also known as the Zerbinator, or to us, Zerb. What's going on, bud?
How are you tonight?
I'm feeling a little stiff. My neck is a little bit.
Why would you be stiff? Why do you think you're stiff?
Because I was bored stiff watching this movie. And what movie is that? It is Weekend at Bernie's. I was trying to come up with some clever thing, but it's Weekend at Bernie's. Let's get right into it, guys. First reactions. Actually, first, Rob, is this another HBO classic for you?
You know what? When we picked this movie, I would have swore that I have seen this movie, and as I'm watching it, there are lots of parts of this that don't look familiar. I don't know that I've ever seen this movie. Obviously, I know what it's about, and I've seen all the funny parts, maybe from the trailer or clips, and I'm sure I saw bits and pieces of it from HBO, but I don't have a strong history with this one.
Well, can I just go on the record for myself and Zerb? You said when we picked this movie... You pick this movie.
Yes, yes.
We're laying this one on you.
Because I've seen it so many times. Because I love it.
Which is none.
Oh, man. Which is also its
rating. So how about you, Kevin? What's your history with this classic?
My history with this classic is I saw it on HBO a million times. It was always on. And I thought I loved it until I saw it recently. And it made me sick. Very, very quick. Very quick. I thumbed through it almost like a magazine just so that I would have something to talk about tonight. And by halfway through, towards the end of the movie, I ended up throwing the magazine away. I couldn't take it that much. I just couldn't. The only thing I was interested in was researching more on Mr. Kaiser to find out what he's doing now, which he is still alive and he's still doing well, but... Otherwise, no, that would be Bernie, of course. But no, sour taste in watching it now. Don't know why I liked it the first time. Don't know.
Well, I'm included in that as well. I can recall watching it. Now, this is from 89, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's definitely on the border of us even doing this movie. Too bad it wasn't a 90s movie. I remember watching this on HBO. Whenever I would see it, I would sit and watch this movie. But now I definitely found myself going, looking at the watch, going, all right, how much longer we got to this? But it's been a while since we have recorded an episode, so I'm a little rusty here. I forgot to ask you guys what's been going on. I mean, it's been so long since we recorded an episode. Kevin, what have you been up to? You got anything new going on?
Winter, long, cold. Sad winter came and went. I got new shows that I'm trying to start up. Actually, I'm trying to start up a horror movie podcast. Worked a little bit on a Spiderwebs old time radio type of show, doing strictly horror and strictly sci-fi a little bit. A lot of murder mystery goodies.
Have you put any out yet?
Not yet. Still trying to work out deals like. Especially during the commercial parts, where there's commercials for Signal Gasoline or something like that from back in the day. I want to replace that with more information about what the show is about and who wrote it and who acted in it and all of that, and keep the commercials out of it.
Well, I look forward to that one. I like my OTR.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You are the catalyst for that, too, talking to you about it. Got me going on it.
Back when I used to do that show. Now it's getting dusted on the shelf.
But one that I have started recording is with Doug McCoy, and it's called The Dumb Things I Did When I Was a Kid. And it's something that he actually was – it's a book that he wanted to write, and I think he has started writing the book, but it's stories of dumb things you do as a kid. And I think it's a great idea because there's just countless stories that I can recall, and there's stories that he has. So he asked me if I'd be interested, and I was like, oh, yes, very interested. So – we have an introduction show done, but not put up yet because I'm still working on the theme song. And then the last thing is a Rotanabrez CD that I'm working on, which is an alter ego heavy metal band. And the lead singer is sitting in the room, and he's going to try to sing off a couple pieces if he can. And then, and of course, Rotanabrez is Urbanator backwards, and it's just this alter ego heavy metal band that consists of three members, Rot, Tan, and Ebrez, which is actually any friends of mine that can jam out and want to be included, which would be wonderful. And Christopher Tupa did a great cover also, which is really
good. Is that out already?
No, it should be out by July, but it has started.
All right. Well, you're a busy man. So, yeah. Definitely a busy man. I'm looking forward to that Dumb Things I Did as a Kid.
Me too.
And I'm sure we'll be finding that over at the Throwback Network as well. And Doug's on there. Doug's got a couple shows over there.
Yeah, he does.
So
when you wonder what people do up in Connecticut when they're snowed in, apparently they just start shows. Exactly. He's like, well.
Shows and music.
Right. One for every day of the week. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. It's been rough. A rough winter. What about you?
Well, I know it's been a while since we recorded, but the last time I saw Sean was in person. We took a family vacation for spring break. We left Oklahoma. We drove to, Louisville, Kentucky to go see a friend there and to, do some stuff. And then we drove to Washington, D.C. and went to all the museums and did all that. And then we took a detour and we drove over to Pennsylvania to go to the official Stoogeum, the official Three Stooges Museum, and then back to D.C. for a couple more days. And then the wife and kids headed back home, and I drove all the way up to just outside Buffalo, New York, to go see Mr. Sean from Throwback Reviews.
Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah. We did a lot of eating.
We did do a lot of eating. He was like, you know, I was there for basically a day and a half. I mean, because I drove from D.C. On Saturday and then got there a little bit after lunch. And so Sean sent me a list. He says, hey, while you're here, we're going to I got this hot dog place I want you to go to, and this Mexican place I want you to go to, and this donut place I want you to go to, and a pizza and wing place I want you. I was like, holy cow, how many meals? But you know what? Because I'm polite, because I'm a nice person, I ate all that food. Normally, I would have been like, if I'd have been at home, I would have been like, no, I think I'll just have some more croutons for my soup. But because I was there visiting someone, I was like, all right, give me the wings. Give me the buffalo wings, baby. So we had
just went and got some hot dogs, and then we went right to
Paula's
shop. Went to Paula's Tim Donuts. Hortons. We went to Tim Hortons first, and then we went to
Paula's
Donuts.
Oh, that's right.
Donuts.
That's right. And then
here in Buffalo.
The next day we went to Mighty Taco. And then posted that online, and my wife is like, you have to get me a Mighty Taco shirt, which I don't know why she wants to wear a Mighty Taco shirt. But so I did, but I ended up ordering it, so it shipped here. So now we have a Mighty Taco shirt, and I got a coffee mug. But Sean took me all around all these places that he's mentioned on podcasts, like some of the places he's been talking about on his news show. I'll let him talk about that, but places that he goes to run and places, you know, on the Fort episode of Throwback Reviews, he talked about his old house, and we drove around, and he was like, that's my old house. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember he talked about that. We got to see all these cool things, man. So it was really good a visit. And I got to see the super secret bar down in the basement. He's getting all fixed up. It's cool stuff, man.
And we didn't really do any drinking.
No. We had like two or three beers. Yeah. Or whatever. Your wife was drinking, putting up with us.
Yeah. No, she had a great time. If she didn't like you, trust me, she would not have sat around and chatted with us. She would have gone and done her
own thing the whole time. But. I'm always plugging her Mealy Monsters, and it was so cool to peek in her little her shop in there, where like you could see the monsters being made like in different stages, you know, like where she's just because you think like you see a lot of them and you think, well, does she just churn them out? Like, is there a mold or anything? But no, she just sits in there and carves everyone, hand paints everyone. And then I was like, by the way, when you weren't there, I swiped like 7 of them. So I got like a bag full of Mealy Monsters came back with me.
Yeah, it was a great time, and you know, hopefully maybe next year we can make the trip down to your place. My kids loved Rob; they call him Uncle Rob now.
So, we got a good podcast. Yeah, your kids and my kids will do a show for. So we put 3,500 miles on the Honda in 7, 8, 9, 10 days, roughly. That was a lot of dang driving.
Yeah, you're crazy with that driving, man.
And then got home back just in time for tornado season to kick off. So, like, the next day I got here, they're like, tornadoes! And I'm like, all right, well, good thing I got home in time for that.
Guess I have a subject matter for my next You Don't Know Flack.
Holy cow, yeah, that one kind of rambled on for a while. Imagine that.
I enjoyed that episode.
Did you like it? Yeah. And then speaking of podcasts, of course, You Don't Know Flack and Sprite Castle and stuff. And then... when I came, you know, one of the podcasts I listen to is No Quarter Podcast. They're on Throwback Network. And so I was listening to all those episodes, and then all of a sudden there seemed like they had canceled the show. I thought it was an April Fool's thing, but apparently they were, they had some scheduling issues and they just couldn't get together in their same time. So they were about to cancel the show. And then, so when I got home from that trip, I had an email waiting for me asking if I wanted to join that show. So that is my new little side gig is hosting No Quarter with Mike McGinnis. So the night that we're recording this show, the first episode should go live. We haven't told anybody. So you guys are the only people I've told.
By the time this goes out, you'll have had like 20 episodes already.
Everybody will know. Right.
As fast as I am getting these things.
But out. Yeah, so we were telling everybody on the episode. So that's how everybody's going to find out. So if it goes live while we're recording, my phone might start blowing up. my no quarter
I'm looking
groupies.
Forward to it. You're definitely going to fit in that position.
It's fun. It's
really well. You know your arcade games.
Yeah, it's playing arcade games. It's easy. That's all I do is easy podcasts. Like, I'll play arcade games and talk about it. I can do that. And this is, you know, watch 80s movies, sometimes bad ones, and we'll talk about it. I don't do any that are like, you know, chemistry homework. That'd be a terrible show. Just fun stuff.
Well, it looks like you two are pretty busy in the podcasting.
What about you, Mr. Shawnee Shawn? What have you been up to?
Yeah. I've been up to not much. Just, you know, like you said, your visit up here. Podcasting, obviously, if you look at the throwback feed, has been kind of slow. I fell into that slump around Christmas. Wanted to take some time off for the family, and it's just hard to get back into the groove of things. But I've been doing a lot of running, focusing on my running a lot, which led me to ask my buddy here, Jason. He's not here right now, sitting next to me. Hey, what's up? But that lives here in Buffalo. And he's not a podcast or anything. I threw it by him, and I said, look, man, let's start up a podcast about running. We both love running. You guys know I love talking about running. My wife, she definitely knows how much I love talking about running. She's just like, so we started a podcast. It's called the Average Runner Podcast. You can find it at theaverageRunnerPodcast.com. It's also on the Throwback Network. It's not very retro, but I own the network, so it's on there. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. We have 2 episodes. One is out, actually. The other one I'm going to finish editing tonight. They're shorter than this. They're like a half hour, 40-minute episodes. But it's fun. It's nice to just kind of be able to talk with someone that enjoys running as much as I do. And there's a lot of people out there that, you know, want to talk about it and hear about it. So hopefully they'll enjoy our show. So that's it's gotten my podcast juices flowing again. That's why that's why you picked this. I was like, look, man, we need to do a throwback review. Just pick a movie. Let me know, and whatever you say, that's what we're going to do. So you pick this piece of garbage. Thanks, so Rob. Why don't we get on with it?
Hey, I want to say real quick, though. You know, I listened to the first episode of the Average Runner podcast, and I'm not a runner. You know, I mean, I go walking. I'm trying to be more consistent, like getting back into the groove now that the weather's nice or whatever. But when I listened to that first episode, I was like, I'm going to go run somewhere right now. I mean, I was like, man, I mean, it makes you like think of exercise and running and, you know, you don't really think of people running for enjoyment. At least I don't. Like, I would think of like running, because I'm being chased or running because, you know, like for a goal, like I want to run a race, but then it's over. But you don't really think of people enjoying it, listening to you guys talk about it or whatever. So, I mean, I would say even if you're not into running, or if you're just thinking about getting into running, or you're wanting to do some exercise or whatever, or, you know, you just want to hear what people have to say about it, I would definitely give it a check. It was a good listen. I enjoyed it.
Well, thanks, man. And I kind of think the second episode's a little bit better. The first episode was definitely more of an introduction of who we are and how we got started and stuff like that. But yeah, it's not a show that's focuses on any particular part of running. Like, I mean, it's for anybody, really. Like the title says, we're just average guys that like to run. We like to talk about it. So we just kind of hoping to maybe, you know, we obviously will talk about some of the races that we do and give recaps of them, and then just like tips and stuff that, or things that we're doing. Maybe it'll help somebody else. And then we're really looking to get feedback from the listeners to where maybe it's, they can suggest stuff to Jason and I, and it's really just something to kind of motivate ourselves. I mean, you can't really, I say it in the show, is that you can't podcast about running if you're not going to get out there and run. So,
yeah.
But anyways, this is running on long enough. So again, let's now go into Weekend at Bernie's. Rob, why don't you give us our movie summary?
You know, I was trying to write a positive movie summary here, and as you can see in the show notes, it's blank. I sat there trying to think of nice things to say about this film. The basic summary is this movie stars two accountants, a guy named Larry and a guy named Richard, and they are kind of opposites. Richard is the straight-laced kind of guy. Larry is the more street smart, a little bit kind of the smart aleck type guy. They are accountants at an insurance firm, and while they are taking they're taking all the numbers from the insurance and putting them into the computer, and when they do that, they find that there is a $2 million windfall that has occurred. So basically they bring this to their boss's attention, who is Bernie, and Bernie pretends to reward them with a weekend away at the Hamptons. Now, what they don't know is that Bernie is the person who has actually been embezzling the money, and he goes to a mob boss who I guess is helping him embezzle the money or do something with the money, and also whose girlfriend he is sleeping with, which doesn't seem like a good idea. And says,
well, it does.
He says he wants these two guys bumped off, which seems pretty drastic, but as we'll find out, it's really not the most illogical choice that happens in this movie. What we find out in the minute whenever he leaves the restaurant is that the mob boss actually knows that he has been, I think he says, dawdling with his girlfriend. And so he tells the hitman, don't worry about those two. I want you to knock off Bernie. And so basically that's what happens. Bernie is killed. The two accountants, Larry and Richard, go to Bernie's house for the weekend. And overhear a message on an answering machine that makes it sound like they are the ones that are going to be killed, which is, of course, what Bernie thought the plan was, but that they won't be killed as long as Bernie is alive. And so the plan becomes they're going to try to make Bernie seem alive by carrying him around and being with him. And they think that by doing this, that the hitman will not kill them. But of course, this is doing the opposite, and that the hitman thinks that Bernie is still alive because they're carrying him around.
Very frustrated.
Right. And so he ends up killing Bernie, I think, four times. I guess this is where you would normally say hilarity ensues. I don't know that you could call it hilarity. I think it's like weird 80s hilarity. The premise is much funnier than the actual on-screen comedy, I guess you would say. And so then at the end, there's a love interest. There's wacky antics going on. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. It's a crazy 80s movie. It is Weekend at Bernie's. Now, I did jot down that it was directed by Ted Kotcheff, I believe, who also directed First Blood, the first Rambo movie. And it was written by Robert Klein, who also has writing credits for Walk Like a Man, which was, I believe it. Oh, yeah, is that the...
Pauly Shore?
No.
Howie Mandel.
That's right. He has writing credits for National Lampoon's European Vacation. And also, it says he's most known for Weekend at Bernie's 2. Which I'm sure we will discuss later in the show. Movie actually did okay. It kind of got a cult following. It had a budget of $15 million and it grossed $30 million. So it turned a healthy profit, which I'm sure is what led to the sequel. But amazingly, and I know you guys will be surprised to hear this, it has a 50% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And actually, if you look on IMDb, I believe it has a 1 out of 10 overall rating.
Wow.
And I did find, while I was researching the writer and director, they actually filed a lawsuit against the movie company because they were never paid any royalties from this movie. And they estimate that from home video, of course, they said their lawyers estimate that it's made over $100 million. There's no proof for that. Right. That they might've been using the same law attorney or the same accountants that were in this wacky film. But in 2014, they actually filed a lawsuit to try to, they said they were never paid for this movie. So wacky, wild Weekend at Bernie's. We're going to talk about how great it was in just a moment.
We are, after Zurb, because that's a real quick rundown of the cast.
Well, you got Andrew McCarthy playing Larry Wilson. Andrew McCarthy, big for St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, Mannequin. Oh, Mannequin. And Lesson Zero. You got Jonathan Silverman playing Richard Parker. And you have Catherine Mary Stewart as Gwen Saunders. She's good in The Last Starfighter and also the wonderful movie Night of the Comet, one of my favorite horror films. Terry Kaiser playing Bernie Lomax. Terry Kaiser is also my favorite gangster in Three's Company.
Oh.
If you remember, he played the Three's Company gangster.
Oh, that's
he
funny.
Also came back later and played the boss for Jack Tripper, I think, in one of the restaurants. So he had a couple of appearances on Three's Company, and that's what I remember him from.
You know, you're talking about Andrew McCarthy, and I forgot about Mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those movies that I, like this, I was like, man, when you said that, I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to review that movie, because in my mind, I loved that movie.
Yeah.
Was it Kim Cattrall?
Right. And that's what I loved about it. Right. I had a big crush on Kim Cattrall.
Oh, yeah, she's beautiful. And Andrew McCarthy in things like St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, Less Than Zero, I know I'm going to be the minority in this, but I am not a fan of him, of the characters he plays, the whiny character.
Yeah.
So this was a little bit refreshing for me in this movie because he was the complete opposite of that type of character.
I felt like I don't like him in serious roles, and then what I found out is I like him less in comedy roles.
I didn't. It was refreshing because I just really don't. I'm not a fan. Like my wife would be like, why don't you guys do... there's certain 80s movies that are probably like the staple mm-hmm. 80s movies. Like if you're to make a big time capsule, send it out, it'd be like, you know, you'd have, you know, Pretty in Pink would be in there. The Breakfast Club.
Weird Science.
I'm not a fan.
Right.
Weird Science that we reviewed months ago, and it still isn't done in the editing room.
But yeah, no, I agree. He's that 80s actor. Like, when you see him, you're like, oh, he's an 80s actor. And then when you go look at his things, I'm like, why did I like him? Which seems...
Are you guys fans of Pretty in Pink?
I am. I do like Pretty in Pink. I can't take Andy McCarthy's eyes. When he gets his eyes real big, and that seems to be his biggest move when he can't think of how to act. He opens his eyes really wide. Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, Pretty Pink was a good movie for me.
But it's a good movie, but my wife always says, like, you can go back and just watch things over and over. And I can. But movies like that, I can't. I don't know what it is. I have no nostalgia for those movies, to be quite honest. I just don't. Maybe because they were too serious and lovey. I don't know.
It's John Hughes, isn't it? Because you mentioned Breakfast Club and then you mentioned 16 Candles.
But I like both of those more than Hughes. I like Pretty in Pink. I like both those more.
I don't know. Maybe I need to give Breakfast Club another try. Because there are some really good actors in that. I think I'll have to give that another try. Maybe we'll do that in a couple months. But Jonathan Silverman, another one. In this movie, I couldn't stand him in this movie. And I'm like, I know I've seen this guy in a bunch of stuff. It's one of those faces where you're like, oh, I must have seen him in like 100 movies in the 80s. And the only thing I could remember was Brighton Beach Memoirs. And I knew that he was in a TV show, but I couldn't remember until I looked at the IMDb, and I believe it was The Facts of Life that he was on. Not regularly. It's kind of regularly a little bit, wasn't he?
I don't know.
And you guys did not research that because you didn't care to.
I skimmed through his IMDb, and I was like, because what I'll do is like it says Andrew McCarthy, and it'll be a movie I never saw, and then it says, Pretty in Pink, and I go, oh, yeah, I remember him in that sort of thing, you know? And so when I was looking him up, Richard, I just blanked on his name. Jonathan Silverman. And I was like, I think it was, I would look at things and I'm like, I don't remember his face in that. I was just having trouble coming up with stuff that I remembered him from. I mean, even looking at IMDb, I was just like, I don't know. I think he's a guy that just maybe he blends in the background to me or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I looked him up just because I was like, you know what? His saving grace for me will be if he's Sarah Silverman's brother or something.
That's what I was going to ask. Is he related to Sarah Silverman or not?
I hope not, because I like her.
Yeah, so do I. As far as I get, that would be his only good trait. But And Terry Kaiser, what acting he had in here, he was great. He was funny.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it's an easy joke to make, but when the best actor is the dead guy, it's just like, I don't know. There was so many things in this movie. Obviously, the joke, I mean, the setup of this movie is it's two guys and they're going to pretend like this dead guy is alive, you know? But I went back and looked and I've seen other people mention this. That doesn't really happen until almost an hour into the movie. And it's a long,
was it really?
It's a long, it's like 50 something minutes where, I mean, you got all this setup of, oh, they're the accountants. Oh, they're going to go here. Oh, they're going to, and then they find, you know, and then Bernie gets killed with the, fake heroin overdose.
You know what? I think it's about 37 minutes in, because that's about where I stopped the other day watching it, and I had to finish watching it today, and I was like, oh, I'm about 40 minutes in, and that was the longest second half of the movie.
I
do remember the timestamp.
Because the funny part of this movie is trying to pretend like a dead guy is alive. I mean, it's a one joke thing. I get it. You know, so it's trying to prop him up or trying to, make him nod his head and this and that or whatever. But it just takes so long to get to that point. And then, I mean, those parts are funny, but, I like the, there's the scene where his toupee comes off and then they use a staple gun. And they put his toupee back on. I was like, okay, that's funny, but it's just like a, it's almost like a Three Stooges comedy thing, just like a tiny joke stuck in the middle of a when Susan asked me, my wife said, how long was that movie? I was like, I think it was about 8 hours. I mean, it just seemed to go on forever.
Yeah. You know, we discussed this before on a previous episode. There was a movie where, and I don't know if we talked about it actually on the show or if it was afterwards, but this is one of those movies. It's almost, it's like, where do we go with this movie? I mean, it's just, it's non-funny scene, but it's supposed to be funny scene after another one. I mean, you have the love story. Right between
it was The Great Outdoors. Richard. The Great Outdoors. Where was that? No, it was Caddyshack.
I don't remember. It was one of those Great Outdoors. Actually.
It could be. It was one of those, but it was. And you're right. It has that same feel where it's like a funny joke, but they're not that funny. I mean, like the dead guy. Bernie falls in the sand, and a kid covers him up, and like that's not. It's just not that funny.
Yeah, you know. And the whole attraction love thing with Richard and Gwen, I don't know, could have done without that. The part that I did like with them was when he took her back to his parents' place, and his father came out,
right.
And he's acting like he's the butler, and he's like, you know, lay out my suit, and he's like, how about I lay you out? that was funny,
and the
I thought was hilarious. But then she gets pissed off and leaves, but yet then she sees him at Bernie's party, and
boy,
everything's okay, and she's ready to get down on the beach.
I never seen a hot girl so desperate to hook up with a lying loser. You know what I mean? I mean, first of all,
yeah, and their kissing scene on the beach, it's like they would stare at each other for so long. I'm like, come on, really? This isn't how it would play
out. Right. Oh, and the dad that comes in the underwear, that was the director in a cameo. That's Ted Kotcheff.
Oh,
yeah, that comes in. So
well, he placed himself quite well.
I'm telling you what.
One of the best parts of the
movie. If I ever direct a movie, and it's not likely, but I put myself in a cameo, it's going to be for some sort of stud role. It's going to be for the guy that saves the day. It's not going to be for the dad to come waltzing in his underwear.
God, I love that part.
I mean, it's,
I thought that was so
it's funny, but funny. That's not the role I'm putting in. But you know that the scene you're talking about where they're on the beach and they're making out and Bernie comes floating in? That scene made me laugh. And I knew it was coming, and it still made me laugh. Now, their reactions were stupid because he's like, hamana, you know, that sort of thing. And he's like, let's go somewhere else. It's just everything that happens in this movie is not how people.
Of course, she doesn't look around.
Right. And he's like, you know, because wouldn't you be paranoid already laying on the beach? I would, you know. And then if somebody's looking over your shoulder and then they freak out and they're like, let's go somewhere else. I don't know. It's nobody in this movie reacts on any level at any part like a real person. Like if your boss invited you over for a weekend and you showed up and you figured out he was dead, would you be like, hey, you know what? We could still party up in this place. You know what? We got a couple. I mean, we know that he overdosed from heroin, but let's just party down. I mean, this place is so nice. You know what struck me right off the bat? They show up at his house, and this is in the Hamptons, right? He walks in, and Larry, who's the more free-flowing of the two, he goes right to the fridge and pops open the champagne. They don't know he's dead yet. I mean, he's literally just walked in, like, and
goes, and he's sitting on the bar. He like just jumps up and sits up on top of the bar.
At his boss's place, which the last time they had a conversation was the first time his boss said, you could call me Bernie. It was Mr. Lomax. He didn't even know who they were. And now he's sitting on the bar opening his champagne. He's like, hey, we're house guests. I was a house guest at your house, Sean. I brought my own bottled water. I dug out of my suitcase or whatever. I don't go through the fridge just opening up bottles and stuff. Who does that? You know, I don't know. It's just silliness.
Yeah. Zerb, jump in there. What are some of the things that you did like about the movie?
Oh, gosh.
Or do you just want to go and bash it? That's fine, too. You don't have to dig deep. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot.
I can tell you what I liked about it the first time I saw it. And and what I reminisced about watching it this time.
Can I just say that in our show notes, you know, we have a section, you know, so we can go through of scenes that we like or maybe some quotes. And Rob's got some things, I've got some things, and then Zerb's got a big X. So I don't know if that means now there's 10 things that he likes.
Now he has two there. It looks like Bernie's eyes. They're like X'd out there.
There you go. Certain scenes I liked were anything to do with Mr. Kaiser, Mr. Lomax, at how well he kept that look on his face, which was sort of like a moderate drunk look that you get when you've had almost too many and you have right. your lip curled up and you're just like, you don't give a crap about anything for the rest of the night, you know. And he did a good job of keeping that face through the entire film. That I appreciated, and I appreciated little things that or the scene where he fell out of the boat and he's holding on, well, he's tied to the tether that goes to the boat, yeah. and he hit all of those buoys that were out there. For some reason, that made me giggle again, things like that. Anything that had to do strictly with him or the use of whatever dummy they put in there was great. I thought that was great. When it came to the acting...
Did you find yourself trying to like stare at his chest the whole time in every scene he was in too?
I looked for blinking eyes, and yeah, see, I saw a couple once in a blue where he would do a light snip because there was a long monologue going on.
Oh,
right, know, or dialogue, excuse me, between the two actors, and so I was looking for that, but no, I didn't. I figured they got the chest covered with a plate or something to hide it. Did you catch anything?
I swore I saw a couple breaths when. When he was, I don't know, they were playing Monopoly or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
towards the end yeah. when Andrew McCarthy's character was swatting him with that. I like, all you hear that like the buzzing that, yeah. sound. He's swatting him on the head with a fly swatter. And then yeah. he's got the rope tied and the girls are back. And he's like pulling the rope so he can wave and everything like that. That was kind of funny, but I think I could see a few breaths there, but it could be shadows. I don't know, but I did find myself constantly looking. That was my entertainment. Like, all right, let's find where he is.
Now we are talking about the scene by the pool. Did you say you thought you saw a couple of breasts there?
Well, I did see a couple. Of
those, holy camole! Breaths. There's some breaths
from Bernie.
They had different bathing bikinis in the '80s, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They had those real high up on the hip thongs. They were
yeah, it's like a V. It goes over. It's almost like yeah, they were.
It was crazy. An arrow. It was an arrow pointing to the goods.
And then
they could almost
what?
I've said this before. Like I don't even know why do I do this podcast. It's like half the movies. I'm like it sucked. And then I'm like, we talked about 80s fashion, and you were like, yeah, bring it back. I love the women's hair, you know, their hair and the clothes. And I'm like, no, it was fun back in the 80s, but I don't need it back. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't the bathing suits. I mean, it was funny, but
you know what? I like those back. I like girls like that that come in wearing high tops too. She's wearing yeah. the bikini cut and off. The white high tops with the socks or whatever.
Their LA gears.
Yeah. that was sweet. And there was some good 80s, you know, you got, I think it was Richard who's wearing like a suit jacket, a button-down shirt, a tie, and then dress shorts. With sneakers. Yeah. I was like, when I was watching, you know, normally when
there was a lot of them in the insurance building where they were walking, there was other guys in like shirt ties with shorts.
Yeah, and that was what a weird
was that a thing in the 80s? I mean, we were younger, so we weren't going to work.
I don't know. I never saw. I don't. That's pushing business casual. I think when you you're nice shorts to work. But normally, but here's what's funny about this movie about the 80s fashion, and maybe it's because it's late 80s. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would be. But normally, when we watched Thrashin', we watched several 80s movies, and normally when I see people dressed in 80s, I'm like, I would wear that tomorrow. Like if you know what I mean? Like if they had big puffy high tops and that look and a suit and a jacket. I'm like, that's cool. Everybody in this movie, I thought, this is so weird. Like, nobody, I didn't know anybody that dressed like these people. Yeah. It was just weird.
I love this. I love the fashion in a nostalgia sense, but I don't want it back in any way.
You don't
want
to go back to it. Now, I had a question for you when we were watching this, and I was going to ask you guys, have either of you guys ever driven a boat?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. I drove a boat one time. There's a steering wheel and there's a throttle, and when I push it forward, it goes faster. When I pulled it back, it went slower. That was it.
I mean, there was no brakes.
There's no brakes. That got turned into, I don't know how long that scene was, where he's like, I'm going so fast that I'm almost hitting every boat I see. There was like a big boat, he went this way, and then there's another boat I was with this way, and then he tipped over one boat and they were still going on, and I was like, this is not a 5-minute joke. This is, you know, like, it would be amazing to me that they found a $2 million error in accounting when this guy can't figure out how a boat works. No.
Yeah. I think one of my other favorite scenes was when the mob boss's mistress came to see Boyne. And she was upstairs with him, and one of the mobster guys is following. He's looking at binoculars, and you can hear her in a state of pleasure with Bernie. And she came down and just like, it was the best ever. I remember laughing when I was younger, and I actually did laugh quite a bit while I watched that tonight. I was just like, this is crazy.
Made me a little uncomfortable. Just a little uncomfortable.
It made you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Why? Were you watching it with your mother?
No, with my dog, actually. But the ew. Goodness. Goodness.
I was...
How would you not know? That's my question. How would you not know? That, not that I'm, you know, getting ready to try this.
How would any of the people on that island know?
Exactly.
What does he say? That guy gets laid more dead than I do alive.
I want to find the guy who wrote it, walk up to him, shake his hand, smack him, and then shake his hand again and walk out of the room.
I'm sure when I was watching this movie in 89, I was probably thinking the same thing.
I think isn't it amazing that when people talk about great 80s movies, people, you know, this movie comes up. People are like, oh yeah, Weekend of Bernie's, you know, and I wonder if maybe those are people like me that never actually saw it, that just saw the...
No, because I saw it plenty of times. Here's the thing too. I was at the video store the night before you came up. Mm-hmm. Nicole wanted to get a couple movies, and I was like, oh, Weekend at Bernie's. And I had it. It was here when you were at my house.
Maybe that's why I couldn't sleep.
Because I remember it being that good. And then when you said, let's do Weekend at Bernie's, I'm like, it's meant to be. This is going to be amazing. And
we should have watched it while we were there.
It wasn't.
You know, the first night I was there, I couldn't really sleep. I was like, there's something evil in this house.
Well, I don't think they're going to be doing this movie as a remake. And if they do, generally, I'm against remakes. I don't want to see them. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Have at it. But the one thing, there's a Weekend at Bernie's too. Now, you talked about this earlier today, Rob, with us on our Voxers. And I'm not lying to you. I had absolutely no idea there was a Weekend at Bernie's too.
Mm-hmm.
I have not even looked it up on IMDb. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that there was a Weekend at Bernie's too. Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up. I have not seen it. But here's the basic, and I don't know all the details. Like I said, I haven't seen it. But the gist of it is that and by the way, Andrew McCarthy and your buddy Richard and Larry, both of them are back. They both come back. So it's not like they go, you know, boy, that first movie was so terrible, we're not in for the sequel. They get everybody back for it. And basically, they figure out that Bernie knows where the $2 million are. So these bad guys, who, by the way, are voodoo practitioners, bring Bernie back from the dead. I'm not kidding. This is the actual plot that's written out on IMDb. But they're supposed to use a chicken to bring him back, and they lose the chicken, so apparently they use a different bird. And so he's kind of a messed up zombie type guy, but he will walk towards the treasure, but only when he's listening to music. So they have to put a Walkman on him, and they have to play music, and he leads them to the treasure, which is...
Oh, my God. I did see that. That yeah. sounds...
Have
oh,
you?
My gosh. Yes.
I've seen that, yeah.
Once you said about the music and him walking, I can remember him... Oh, my gosh.
It does say Let in the trivia that it inspired a dance, that there's a Bernie dance when people like were shaking around or whatever, mm-hmm. that was a thing for a while.
Rob, I know you said it in the beginning, but what was the budget for this movie?
$15 million.
And what did they make off this movie?
$30 million.
And that's enough for a sequel?
Double. They doubled their money. Now, I don't make movies, so I don't know where budgets go. I mean, I feel like if you make this movie, you would call your buddy. It's like, hey, can we borrow your big house for the weekend? And also, we're going to need to borrow a boat and a golf cart. And you pretty much got this movie. Like, there's not a lot of CGI. There's not a, you know.
No, it's because they rented. They had to rent a big, huge house in the Hamptons. That's where, that's where $14 million this went, probably.
I mean, for $15 million, I feel like they could have filmed it in downtown New York City and brought that sand in and brought an ocean in. Just been like they bought the building that they filmed the first part in. Like, I can't imagine what would be $15 million. I sure as hell hope they didn't pay it to Andrew McCarthy. I thought his acting in particular was so weird and over the top that every time he said something, I was like, he's a guy pretending to be somebody. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. I didn't think he was believable at any part in this movie.
Mm-mm. It's like a high school play. He did as well as somebody would do in a high school play in that movie.
I didn't even know why they would be friends, Larry and Richard. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, there's two people that don't like each other.
Well, I think because Richard is the smart, brainy, dedicated worker, and then you have Larry who happens to work there. There's a little discrepancy on who got hired first. And so it was more laid back, and so I think they probably feed off each other.
Yeah.
Odd couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to pull something out on this for this movie. Look, obviously, I don't think there's, a lot of times Rob will go on eBay and look for some stuff. Unless you found a carcass named Bernie, I don't think there's probably much that we can even offer for this. Maybe a DVD or a Blu-ray.
That's it. That and there are a lot of autographed 8x10s from Andrew McCarthy. So I don't know. Mm. He's the one guy that was like, this is the one that's going to make me. Like, he signed a ton of stuff. Everybody else walked away from this. And there are a couple of different DVD releases and Blu-rays. None of them that I could find had any extra features. I don't know. I mean, I guess they might have done a making of, but there's none of that on there. And what I really found was a lot of those DVDs that are like four movies on one deal, you know, and there was like, yeah. It had like Caddyshack 2, this movie. And there was one that had Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2 and Caddyshack 2 and something else. And you could get that for $10. And I thought, that sounds high. You know,
when does that go on?
Right. I wouldn't pay $2.50 to see. I might see the zombie one. Like, that one kind of sounds funny.
Well, I was watching interviews with Terry Kaiser just to see, you know, where is he now, kind of thing. I was researching that a little bit, and he was being interviewed at one of those. I don't know if it was a Comic-Con setup or what for. Friday the 13th Part 7, he had a role in that. And they were asking him what his favorite horror movie of all time was. And he said, Weekend at Bernie's. So he considers it a horror movie. And then the one interviewing him asked him if he would ever be interested in doing it again. He says it was the best time he ever had making a movie, and that if in both of them. And if someone had the funds and if someone was interested to do another one, he would do it in a heartbeat. Weekend at Bernie's 3. So,
well, of course, how hard of a paycheck is that movie?
Yeah. That's right. So he loved it, and I thought that was pretty neat because, yeah, he was my favorite part.
Yeah.
If I had to pick a favorite part of the movie, it would be his performance.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Here's what we need you to do. Think everything that you learned in acting class and forget it.
Mm-hmm. And when you hear the music from the boombox, just shake around and walk real funny.
And if you hear somebody else playing music, walk the other way.
I honestly, this is what I would like to do. Instead of watching this movie, I would take all the funny parts and I bet you could put them in about a minute, you know, maybe 90 seconds, put them into a thing and upload that to YouTube. And then if anybody ever says, you know, I was thinking about watching Weekend at Bernie's, I would send them that link and go, here you go. Here's the highlights. And the rest of it, 97 or, you know, the 96, other 96 minutes, don't worry about that. I haven't seen the sequel, so I don't know. I don't know how many funny parts you get. I might get like a 3-minute supercut. It's got both movies in it or something. But this was a rough one.
I think we nailed this one, guys. I think it's time to wrap this one up.
Yeah, I just couldn't. You know, the jokes that are in here are not enough to make me want to watch it again or ever again, you know? Like I felt like I got them, you know what I mean? Like the staple gun, like the I don't even know what the funny things were, you know? Like the waving, like when he waves because he has the string on his hand, you go, oh, that's kind of funny, and then... But that's it, you know. There's just nothing here to this movie. It's very strange.
Yeah. Well, how about you, Zurb?
Hey, if I ever see it again, it would have been by accident.
Yeah,
it would have been flipping channels and turn the channel, and X is a good answer.
Same here, and I think this is probably the point that we should announce that we're doing Mannequin for the next episode.
Here's how I would watch this movie again. If you two show up at my house and I'm just sitting on the couch really still with sunglasses on, and you guys are like, I think Rob's just sleeping one off. You know what we should do? Let's put on Weekend at Bernie's. He'll enjoy that. And then I'm laying there, and then someone finds a thing of heroin in my pocket. And and then you're like,
put headphones on him and get you to dance.
Right, I'll lead you to the treasure. I think really that's the only way I could sit through this movie again is if I were dead on a couch and you guys put the movie on.
Well, I have to say, I apologize to listeners if we're a little too harsh on this movie, but I got to tell you what, this is a fun episode to record. Not that the other ones are, but sometimes I feel like, oh man, we have to like bring it with this movie. Now this has been a good comeback episode. Yeah. I think the
one thing that really does confuse me is how highly this movie is regarded as an 80s classic. You know, like I said, when people think, oh, what are the great 80s movies? Somebody will mention this movie, and I'm just going to be – the next person that mentions it, I'm going to say, we're going to watch it right now, and I'm going to ask your opinion in 90 minutes if you still agree with that.
Maybe because the movie's 1989 and because it's in that corner of the 80s and this is all that was left before it became 1990, maybe that's what gave it that quote-unquote great title, just because it's right under the rim.
Well, I think it also has to do, I mean, a week ago, I would have been like, oh, yeah, Weekend at Bernie's is great. We're doing Weekend at Bernie's, Rob? That movie's awesome. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to watch it. You just think, you remember it a different way.
Yeah, and that's why I picked it, because I knew that we'd had some time off, and I thought, you know what, let's pick a funny one to get back into that everybody will enjoy and have a great time watching.
You know, I mean, we've done a number of... I don't even know what number we're on episode-wise. I don't keep track anymore. But, you know, we've done some movies that have still kept up their, you know, what I thought of them. Mm-hmm. There's been some that I didn't even like as a kid or when I was younger, and I actually ended up really liking them now. Jaws was one of them. I mean, that's, God, I really enjoyed Jaws. And Ghostbusters. I mean, God, Ghostbusters, I wanted nothing to do with that movie when I was a kid. I was like, okay, I heard it. You know, and the videos would come on. I'm like, oh, great. One of my favorite 80s movies that I didn't care for in the 80s. This movie, it wasn't something I loved as a kid, but I definitely thought I liked this movie more than what I did. And it was the most fun about this movie is tonight, right now. This is the most fun for this movie is awesome. Basically just kind of crapping on it. It's all a good fun, you know, but send us an email, you know, feedback@throwbackreviews.com. Let us know what you think. If it's still one of your favorites, or if you think it is, but you haven't watched it yet, send us an email. And then email us again after you watch it.
Yep. If you're about to email us and say, that movie was great, you guys don't know what you're talking about, this is what you got to do. You watch it first, and then you send us that email. If you watch it and you say it's still great, then we'll read it. But if you're just going off memories like we did, you might find that that old corpse is a little smellier than you remembered.
That's exactly right. So now you have the email address if you want to send us an email with some feedback. Kevin, where can everybody find all the stuff that you got going on?
Everything you need is going to be at zerbinator.wordpress.com. Music, podcasts, and Great Escape Pods, everything, all right there.
And you can find some of his shows on the Throwback Network as well.
Yeah.
Rob, how about you?
Yep, same thing. I've got all my shows. You can find links to them over at RobOhara.com, or they're all on ThrowbackNetwork.net.
All right, and you could go to the website, ThrowbackReviews.com, where you can find show notes for all the episodes, as well as a link for our Amazon affiliate if you want to help support the show and the network. That will help us greatly. It doesn't cost you anything more. It just takes you to Amazon like you normally go. It just says that you came on our recommendation, and they give us a little thank you for you doing that. So, and if you have done that, thank you very much. It's greatly appreciated. We just renewed the all the domain names and the web hosting, so we're definitely here for another year. We're on Facebook, Throwback Reviews Podcast, over on Facebook, and Twitter, @ThrowbackReview. That's kind of, I guess that's more me. So you'll find a mixture of things there, but it's the name. Like I said before, email, you can send it to feedback@throwbackreviews.com. And we have a voicemail that you can also call anytime you want. It's 716-243-2709. I'll put all this stuff in the show notes over at throwbackreviews.com. You can also find us on the Throwback Network, like Rob said, the great retro podcasting network. So, and for me, you can find me at the Average Runner Podcast. .com. Check out my new show if you like to run, or if you're thinking about running, give us a listen. So that's going to wrap it up, gentlemen. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Throwback Reviews. You can find show notes for this episode at throwbackreviews.com, and you can find this and lots of other great shows over at throwbacknetwork.net. Your home for quality retro podcasts. If you'd like to send us feedback about the show, like us on Facebook at Throwback Reviews Podcast, or follow us on Twitter as simply Throwback Review. You can also email us at feedback@throwbackreviews.com, or leave us a voicemail at area code 716-243-2709. If you really love the show, head over to iTunes and leave us a review there. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Throwback Reviews.